تبشير علي رضي الله عنه لعمر رضي الله عنه بالجنة وهو يحتضر. وأخرج ابن عساكر عن أبي مطر قال سمعت علي رضي الله عنه يقول دخلت على عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه حين وجاءه أبو لؤلؤة وهو يبكي فقلت ما يبكيك يا أمير المؤمنين؟ قال أبكاني خبر السماء أيذهب بي إلى الجنة أم إلى النار؟ فقلت له أبشر بالجنة فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما لا أحصيه يقول سيدا كهول الجنة أبو بكر وعمر وأنعما. فقال أشاهد أنت لي يا علي بالجنة؟ قلت نعم. وأنت يا حسن فاشهد على أبيك أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن عمر من أهل الجنة. بكاء عمر رضي الله عنه عند ذكر الجنة. وقد تقدم في زهد عمر رضي الله عنه قوله في ضيافة له هذا لنا فما لفقراء المسلمين الذين ماتوا وهم لا يجمعون من خبز الشعير. فقال عمر بن الوليد لهم الجنة. فرورقت عينا عمر رضي الله عنهما قال لئن كان حظنا من هذا الحطام وذهبوا بالجنة لقد بانوا بونا عظيما. رجاء سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه بدخول الجنة وهو يحتضر. عن مصعب بن سعد قال كان رأس أبي في حجري وهو يقضي قال فدمعت عيناي فنظر إلي فقال ما يبكيك أي بني؟ فقلت لمكانك وما أرى بك؟ قال فلا تبكي علي فإن الله لا يعذبني أحدا وإني من أهل الجنة. إن الله يدين المؤمنين بحسناتهم ما عملوا لله. قال وأما الكفار فيخفف عنهم بحسناتهم فإذا نفدا. قال ليطلب كل عامل ثواب عمله ممن عمل له. جزع عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه وهو يحتضر خوفا مما بعد الموت. عن أبي شماسة المهري قال حضرنا عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه وهو في سياقة الموت فحول وجهه إلى الحائط يبكي طويلا وابنه يقول له ما يبكيك؟ أما بشرك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكذا؟ أما بشرك بكذا؟ قال وهو في ذلك يبكي ووجهه إلى الحائط ثم أقبل بوجهه إلينا فقال إن أفضل مما تعد علي شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله ولكني قد كنت على أطباق ثلاث فقد رأيتني ما من الناس من أحد أبغض إلي من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا أحب إلي من أن أستمكن منه فأقتله ولو مت على ذلك الطبقة لكنت من أهل النار. ثم جعل الله الإسلام في قلبي فأتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبايعه فقلت أبسط يمينك أبايعك يا رسول الله. قال فبسط يده صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم إني قبضت بيدي فقال ما لك يا عمرو؟ قال فقلت أردت أن أشترط. قال تشترط ماذا؟ فقلت أشترط أن يغفر لي. فقال أما علمت يا عمرو أن الإسلام يهدم ما كان قبله وأن الهجرة تهدم ما كان قبلها وأن الحج يهدم ما كان قبله؟ فقد رأيتني ما من الناس أحد أحب إلي من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا أجل في عيني منه ولو سئلت أن أنعته ما أطقت لأني لم أكن أطيق أن أملأ عيني إجلالا له فلو مت على ذلك الطبقة رجوت أن أكون من أهل الجنة. ثم ولينا أشياء بعد فلست أدري ما أنا فيها وما حالي فيها فإذا أنا مت فلا تصحبني نائحة ولا نار فإذا دفنتموني فسنوا علي التراب سنا فإذا فرغتم من قبري فامكثوا عند قبري قدر ما ينحر جزورا ويقصب لحمها، فإني أستأنس بكم حتى أعلم ماذا أراجع به رسول ربي. This is from the chapter of the Iman of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Iman of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum with regard to the unseen, and Iman of Sahaba radiallahu anhum with the whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them about. And this subchapter is about the Iman of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum with regard to the bringing Iman on Jannat and Jahannam. Abu Matar narrates that I heard Ali radiallahu anhu saying that I entered upon Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu after Abu Lu'lu had stabbed him and injured him, and Umar radiallahu anhu was crying. So I said, "What makes you cry, O Amirul Mu'mineen?" He says, Umar radiallahu anhu replied, "That the information of the skies makes me cry. Will I be taken to Jannat or will I be taken to Jahannam?" So I said, "Glad tidings to you of Jannat, because I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so many times that I cannot even count how many times I have heard Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the two leaders of the men of Jannat will be Abu Bakr and Umar, and they are the best." So Umar radiallahu anhu says, "O Ali radiallahu anhu, will you stand witness? Do you stand witness? Do you testify that you heard Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that I am from the people of Jannat?" So I said, "Yes." Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was turned towards Hassan radiallahu anhu, who was with Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, that, "Do you bear witness that your father said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I am from the people of Jannat?" The crying of Umar radiallahu anhu when Jannat was mentioned. The incident was mentioned previously regarding the zuhud and abstinence from the dunya of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And once they were in some da'wat where some food was being served, so Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that, "What about the poor Muslims who passed away before this wealth came to us?" In other words, what about these poor Muslims who passed away and they did not even have enough food, enough bread, enough barley bread to fill their stomach? So what about them? We are enjoying this food, in other words, and these Sahaba radiallahu anhu, poor Sahaba radiallahu anhu, passed away at that time, and there was a lot of poverty, and there wasn't enough food, there wasn't even dry barley bread to fill their stomachs with. So Umar ibn al-Walid was there, mentions that they are in Jannat, that for them is Jannat. So the eyes of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu filled up with tears, and he said that if our share is the dunya, and they have already gone to Jannat, how much have they surpassed us? How great is their fazilat over us that they are already in Jannat, and what we are getting is the dunya. Mus'ab bin Sa'd, the son of Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, says that my father's head was on my lap and he was close to death, close to passing away. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was about to leave the world. My eyes began to tear. My father looked at me and he said, "What makes you cry, O my son?" I said, "In the condition you are in and what I am seeing about you." So Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said that, "Do not cry over me, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never punish me, and I am from the people of Jannat." Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was one of those people whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ashram wa Ashram, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had given him glad tidings of Jannat. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense a person according to the good deeds that he did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the kuffar, then their good deeds will be very little. Their good deeds will be very light on the scale, because they will be told, "Liyatlub kullu amilin." The person, every person who did any action must go get the reward from that person for whom he did that action. For kuffar, if they were worshipping some idol, then obviously they did the action, whatever they did, good, they did for the idol. So they will be told, go to that idol and get a reward from him. And whoever they did it for, whoever they were worshipping besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be told to go and get the reward from there. Abu Shammas al-Mahri says that I came to Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, also one of the very senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he was on the throes of death. He was about to leave the world. He turned his face to the wall and he was crying for a long time. And his son is telling him that, what makes you cry? Didn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give you this glad tidings? And didn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give you this glad tidings? Don't cry. And he carried on crying for a long time, and his face facing toward the wall. Then he turned his face towards us and he said that the most virtuous things that you mention regarding my qualities is by bringing iman. You're telling me that I did this and I did that and I did that action. He said the greatest action that I did, all the other things mentioned is by the way, they are good, but the thing that you should be telling me that the greatest thing that I have ever done is to bring iman and shahadat in la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But I passed through three phases of my life. I can see myself when I was one of those who the face of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most hated towards me. To me, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most hated person towards me, and that was one phase of my life. And the most beloved thing to me at that time was that I must get an opportunity to kill Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if I died in that condition, then I would be for the fire of Jahannam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed Islam in my heart. I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pledge allegiance to him. And I stretched out my right hand to pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread his hand towards me. But I pulled my hand back. So he said, "Oh, what is wrong with you, Umar? What is it with you, O Amr?" I said, "I want to make a condition." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "What condition you want to make?" I said, I make a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive all my past sins. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, "Don't you know, O Amr, that Islam destroys and cancels out all that is before it, all the sins." So when a person brings Islam and Iman, whatever sins he did in Kufr, whatever sins he did before he recited in the Kalima, all that is wiped clean. Don't you know that? And don't you know that Hijrat wipes out all the sins, all the previous sins, and gives a person a clean slate? And don't you know that Hajj also wipes out a person's sins and gives a person a complete clean slate? Then he says, then I see myself that I was, at that time, he's talking about the second part of his life now. Then at this time, the most beloved person to me became Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the greatest person, the greatest person in my eyes became Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you ask me to describe the features of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will not be able to do so, because I was not able to look directly at the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of respect for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if I died in this phase of my life, the second phase of my life he's talking about now, if I died in this phase of my life, then I hoped that I would have been from the people of Jannah. Then we were granted responsibilities. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu was in the conquest of Syria, and then he was in the conquest of Egypt also. Then we were granted responsibilities after that. And I do not know my now whether what is my condition there. What is my condition now? I don't know. This responsibilities that had been placed upon us, I don't know now whether we had failed in this responsibility. when I pass away, then no mourners, those days they used to have professional hired mourners who would come and cry at funerals. That was something from the days of Jahiliyat, from the days of ignorance. So no mourners should come and accompany my janaza. And when you bury me, then throw the sand upon my grave. And when you finish throwing the sand over my grave, then stand by my qabr for a little while. That amount of time that it takes to slaughter a camel and distribute his meat. That was a measure of time that they used to use in the time of Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu. There were no clocks, obviously, at that time. So for a while, half an hour, 1 hour approximately, you should stand. And by my qabr, after you have buried me, because I will take solace with your company until I know what answer I have given the malaika who have come to question me. The malaika that have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards me. Alhamdulillah, respected brothers. This was the iman of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And this iman came about by two things. One is the sohbat and the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And secondly, giving sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum made sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those who make sacrifice, effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open for them pathways of hidayat. And the most important thing in hidayat is iman. So there is only one way, respected brothers, to build our iman. One is to bring command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives. And secondly, respected brothers, is to make effort on the iman, and that is to make sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we are told to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for long periods of time, dur or der ke liye, you know, long periods of time and far and wide, until we feel that pinch in our pockets, we feel that separation from our families, spending our time, as we are told, for the fikr of hidayat, for our hidayat, for the fikr of our hidayat and the hidayat of mankind, when we sacrifice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open for us pathways of hidayat. Alhamdulillah, Mubarak, month of Ramadan is almost coming to an end. Respected brothers, let us engage. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, this chapter is regarding Jannat and Jahannam. One of the things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, that in this month we should excessively ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannat. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively for Jahannam, to save us from the fire of Jahannam. One of the ways is Allahumma in as'aluka ridaka wal janna wa a'udhu bika min saqatika wal nar. اللهم إني أسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. Oh, in whatever language, in our own language, we should beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi teaches us that when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannat, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannat wa Firdaus. And respected brothers, these are the days of itqum min al-nar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees people from the fire of Jahannam in abundance. We should ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, one is those that have passed away, our families, or whoever, from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that has asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them from the fire of Jahannam and then of Jannat. Then ourselves and our families and whoever is on the face of the earth, sacred brothers, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us hidayat, to grant them hidayat, and then to die upon this hidayat, so that we can be safe from the fire of Jahannam and enter into Jannat. Hazrat Amr bin As, as we read here, the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum, the companions, his companions, his family, they are mentioning all his achievements, what he achieved in this world. And he tells them that which you should be telling me, reminding about, is my greatest achievement. That is to bring iman. How many people on the face of the earth, respected brothers, they do not have iman? We should make dua for the hidayat of mankind, for the people of our country, for the people all over the world. Make dua for the zalimeen also, those who are oppressing the Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them hidayat also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them hidayat also. And if hidayat is not written for them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must save the Muslim from the zulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must protect the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant us the tawfiq of doing such amal. such amal that will bring down the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may God Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq of doing such amal that will draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those gunas and those actions due to which the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being withheld. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant us tawfiq of making tawbah from these gunas. So last few days, last few hours of the month of Ramadan, let us increase our amal, increase our du'as, increase our mulaqats with respected brothers. People's hearts are soft. The month of Ramadan, people will meet us who normally don't give us a hearing other times of the year. Few moments left, we got a weekend left, people are at home most of the time. Let us go and make some mulaqats, talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq.